Quarterback back at the five, steps up, gets drilled. Yes, sir, he gets mashed. And that is going to be the ball game. 6-5-4-3. They can't snap it. They can't stop it. They can't win it. Alabama wins the ball game.
Derrick Thomas, linebacker, Alabama.
He was a nightmare for people that had to try to prepare for him because he had unique skills.
Just go get the quarterback. I felt sorry for some of those poor tackles that came in and had to go against him because they didn't realize what they were getting themselves into.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. Have some fun. Woo! Woo!
Son, I got to do better than this.
Lights out.
Sacking the cornerback is just like you devastate a city, or you cream a multitude of people. I mean, it's just like you put all the offensive players in one bag, and I just take a baseball bat and beat on the bag. So each time he came over there, I tried to tear his damn head off.
Let's play some football. Let's play some football.
The pressure is on. This is Off the Edge on Tide 100.9.
Focus on what you want to do, what you want to accomplish. Think about that. Don't think about how you feel, how tired you are, how hot it is. You got to push yourself on the field when you're playing football.
It's my honor to present the National Championship Trophy to Coach Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide.
To me, this is the ultimate team. All these guys bought into everything they needed to do to be the best players that they could be. There's more togetherness on this team than almost any team that we've ever had. And they had to overcome and persevere so much adversity through this season. And they've done it magnificently. And I'm so proud of this group for what they've been able to accomplish in going undefeated and winning the national championship.
Streaming live on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and the Tide 100.9 app. Here is your host of Off the Edge, Jacob Harrison.
Hello there, good morning. Welcome in to Off the Edge, Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. I sound a little bit more fired up than usual. It's not just because tomorrow is the NFL draft, and as much as I love talking to him, it's not just because in 12 minutes we're going to talk to Rising Drafts, Ryan Roberts. It's because I just got done eating some Slim Chickens, and I love me some Slim Chickens. But you know what's better than Slim Chickens? Free Slim Chickens. Free Slim Chickens. They came down, they dropped off some food for the station, so I was able to scarf back three chicken tenders with some Slim sauce. Got me a little Mountain Dew. Love it. Love it. That's how you start a day, right? My day was kind of chaotic. I got locked out of my office, but after our meeting and come out, and there's hot Slim Chickens in the office, and ooh, that's the way to start the day. But like I mentioned, in about 11 minutes, we're going to talk with our friend Ryan Roberts. We're going to get his thoughts on Evan Neal, this weird thing with the injuries, with the rumors surrounding Evan Neal, whether or not. I'll ask him the same question I asked AJ Spurrier yesterday. Is it a mistake for the Jacksonville Jaguars to pass on Evan Neal? I know so many Alabama people feel that way. So many Alabama people, and I was the same way. I am the same way. I am. If I were Trent Baalke, or if my mind were to replace Trent Baalke's, first of all, you'd have a much worse radio station, a much worse radio show from 11 a.m. until noon here on Tide 100.9. But second, I, as the Jacksonville Jaguars GM, would select Evan Neal. And it doesn't matter to me or to anybody else on the outside if I'm in that position that we just locked up Cam Robinson for 3 years and $54 million off on the backside of this franchise tag. That doesn't matter because the most important person on our roster, the most important person in our building, is Trevor Lawrence. We have to protect him. And the fact that there is not a dangerous... I would ask the AFC, the resident AFC South fan here, Mason Woods, who is the best quarterback in the AFC South? Who is the best quarterback in the AFC South? Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You already have, probably, likely, there's an argument to be made, best pass rusher in the AFC South, in Josh Allen. Yeah, we can agree on that. So,
you know, Harold Landry exists. But
Harold Landry does exist. He's not bad. I'm not saying he's not. Josh Allen, he's pretty good. He's pretty good. If you were in the AFC East, if you were in the NFC West, or in the AFC West, then I fully understand. You need all the pass rush help you can possibly get, because to even make the playoffs, you have to go through some of the AFC's best quarterbacks. The AFC North the same way. The AFC South has the worst quarterbacks in the entire league. But Jacksonville has the most promising of them all. Ryan Tannehill is 34 years old. He's as mid as he's ever been. Matt Ryan is as good as he's ever going to be. He's not going to get better in Indianapolis. And then in Houston, they have Davis Mills. Protect the quarterback. And I can remain sitting here and arguing at the idea that it should make way more sense for Evan Neal to be the first overall pick than Aiden Hutchinson, than Trayvon Walker. And here's the bizarre part, right? And we've talked about the Trayvon Walker thing as the first overall pick. And I mentioned this to Mason the other day. And I don't know if it's a failing on my part. I felt like I did a pretty good job covering both Georgia games on this show. Felt like I did a pretty good job analyzing those games. If I'm wrong, hey, I'm wrong. There were games where I didn't do a good job. Texas A&M. But there are, to me, a handful of players that stood out on that Georgia defense that I talked about a lot. Whether it was Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, Devontae Wyatt, Darion Kendrick, N'Kobe Dean, Louis Seen. Hey, that rhymed well. That worked out. I love it. That's over half the defense I just named right there. And Trayvon Walker's good. He's great. He's worthy of a top 15 pick. I've said that for as long as I can remember. But during both of those games, during the lead up to both of those games, I don't remember ever saying Trayvon Walker's name. Ever. The interns just came up. They've all got Slim Chickens too. They got way more food than I did. I'm so jealous. So jealous. Their plates are stacked. I had to rummage through and just get three chicken fingers and a pack of Slim Sauce. Y'all got stacked plates.
I think I went back and forth about five times. I literally like went up and down the line. I was in people's way, being indecisive.
I bet Diesel thought he'd had a much higher chance of getting something fall off your plate than mine. But I don't remember saying Trayvon Walker's name at all in the lead up to either of those games. And I had a month and a half to prepare for one of them. That doesn't mean he's a bad player. I think that says more about my lead-in than it does him. But we talked about Kayvon Thibodeau since this time last year as the first overall pick. We talked about Aiden Hutchinson as the first overall pick ahead of everybody else about halfway through the college football season. And we're going to talk about Trayvon Walker being a first overall pick just days before the NFL draft. I don't think that's how this works. So I think that's a smokescreen. But when we're talking about smokescreens and we lead the conversation around Evan Neal, one of the worst attempts at a smokescreen I have seen all year is this Evan Neal smokescreen. This smokescreen designed to get Evan Neal to fall. Now, I've had my share of mock drafts in practice and in release. I've only had two release. One with Evan Neal first overall, the latest with him ninth overall to the Seattle Seahawks. There is a very realistic path for Evan Neal to fall to 9 and be the third offensive tackle selected without having to lie, without having to produce rumors of the guy not being able to pass a physical or the guy having a bum knee or a bad hip. And, I mean, go from any angle you want to. Here's Ari Mayerov with the facts right here, right at My Sports Update, one of the best insiders out there. One of the few things to love about PFF. Ari Mayerov. Evan Neal started 40 out of 41 games at Alabama at three different positions and only missed one game due to COVID. I don't remember that game. The combine.
I don't remember that game either.
It had to be 2020.
But Xavier Houston said this morning he believes it was the Arkansas game in 2020. But I don't remember it that way.
I don't remember.
So
I don't remember being stressed out about Evan Neal not playing in a game. So, and you would be. You absolutely would be. Mayerov goes on, the combine has a medical recheck in April for prospects with potential red flags. Medically, Neal was told not to even go. And Neal's camp denies that there are any medical risks with him. There are none. Outside of the average risks of a 6'7" offensive lineman, you know, sometimes the legs and the backs do give out early. But how many successful 6'7" offensive tackles are there in the league? A lot. How many just completely fall off the face of the planet due to medical issues related to their size? It's not many. So it's hogwash. Evan Neal is a top 10 pick. Evan Neal should be a top 5 pick. And when we talk with our friend Ryan Roberts here in about 4 minutes, we're going to get his thoughts on Evan Neal, where he does see him going in the NFL draft, whether or not it's a mistake for the Jacksonville Jaguars to miss on him, and so much more. So stay tuned. We'll be back on the other side to talk with Ryan Roberts of Rise and Draft next year on Off the Edge. Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A beautiful afternoon with a sunny sky, the high today 76. Clear tonight, the low at 50. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high at 81. Friday and Saturday, partially sunny both days. The high Friday, 83. The high Saturday at 85. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 66 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
We aren't going anywhere. Off the Edge is available in the podcast center on Tide100.9.com.
Back here on Off the Edge, Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide sports. Stuff happens, and this one I can fully understand as a father of three. When your kid starts throwing up at the daycare, you got to go take care of business.
Throws a wrench in your plans.
Throws a massive wrench in your plans. And listen, Ryan Roberts deserves a break, even if it means rushing to the daycare and rushing back home. So we'll make it all work out. We'll try to talk with him tomorrow, and get his thoughts on the NFL draft the day of the NFL draft. I mean, that works out just a little bit better, doesn't it? And we'll pivot and we'll make things work today. Now spinning back into the NFL draft and with Evan Neal, I've asked AJ the question. I'm going to ask Ryan Roberts the question. And I did a little bit more previewing into this idea than I did answering this idea. So I'll answer it.
from my perspective. It is a massive, massive, massive regret to me. Even after today's news that Cam Robinson has been locked up for 3 years for $54 million on the backside of his franchise tender. Listen, you can think, and a lot of people do, you can think as lowly as you want to of Cam Robinson, that he is just an average or below average NFL offensive tackle. That dude's made a lot of money, and he's about to make a lot of money. And that's the name of the game in the NFL. Yes, championships, all the others that come with it. But you have to be on successful teams to do those types of things. And if your left tackle is just average, but you feel good enough to keep him around, then that's great. On the other side of that is Juwan Taylor. That's the right tackle for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, he's not elite. He's in the same camp as below average. And I think the Jaguars like him, and I understand that. They bring in Brandon Scherff. They made other adjustments on their offensive line. So why would you regret taking, or why would you regret not taking Evan Neal? And the point is simple. Longevity. This is about the future. The NFL draft is always about the future. And when you can lock down even one position on your offensive line for 10 years, you've won.
Worth it.
You've won. I saw yesterday, I've been watching nothing but draft stuff on YouTube and just amped, right? Look back a couple of years ago when the New York Giants selected Saquon Barkley with a top five pick and then took Will Hernandez in the second round. Will Hernandez is no longer with that team. And Saquon Barkley has been injured a lot. Continues the argument that you shouldn't take running backs in the first round. You know who was in that draft? Quentin Nelson. You know
overall.
You know who's a hell of a lot better than Will Hernandez? Quentin Nelson. You know what, the New York Giants, you know who they're probably going to select in this draft because they didn't take Quentin Nelson? Ike Ekwonu, who's not as perfect of a prospect as Quentin Nelson was. The Colts love Quentin Nelson. The Colts have one of the best offensive lines in football because of the existence of Quentin Nelson next to Ryan Kelly. There's a lot to love there. The Giants are still picking up the pieces of not selecting that guy. Now, listen. Here's the bizarre part about this whole Aiden Hutchinson thing, okay? He is an incredible talent. He has the highest floor of any player in this draft except for Evan Neal and Kyle Hamilton. I think that's a fair statement to make. He's more than worth of being a first overall pick in this kind of class. But when we can point out three players that are in next year's draft in Will Anderson, Bryce Young, and C.J. Stroud, that would all easily be enough for the Jaguars to either take Will Anderson without second thought or a team trade up with Jacksonville to take one of those quarterbacks, then we know that it is a skewed draft class all the way together. So you're telling me he's a fantastic floor prospect. Can he get much better? Can he become a T.J. Watt caliber pass rusher? Can he become a Myles Garrett, a Joey Bosa?
What he's doing is Ryan Kerrigan.
And Ryan Kerrigan's, what, six-time Pro Bowler? Fan favorite in Washington? Lovable player? How many double-digit sack seasons did Ryan Kerrigan have? It's not many. That's not good enough to be the first overall pick. And that's the point.
So why shouldn't Jacksonville just walk up there and turn in their card, and when Roger Goodell looks at his card, says, Will Anderson? Why shouldn't they do that?
Well, it's not legal.
So who cares?
I'll make it legal.
I mean, seriously, you pay him the number one overall salary or whatever. He goes back to Alabama, and then by the time the national championship game's over, he's going to OTAs with the Jaguars.
If it were the MLB, you could totally do that, right? I mean, you can't. I wish it made sense. It makes sense a little bit, but I think it would take away from the NFL draft by a lot. If you were able to do that, the waiting around, because what makes the NFL draft so incredible compared to the MLB draft, and I'm sorry, Logan, you have to hear this, is the fact that you immediately see these guys have an impact with their teams.
glad that that rule's not around because the Detroit Lions would probably take my boy Bryce Young.
Exactly. That's exactly
can't
what
live with
do.
That. I can't live in a world where Bryce Young plays in the NFC North.
Well, there's a strong possibility that still happens anyway because the Lions are going to be right back in this space. But the Falcons will be too. Who knows what they're going to end up having to do as well. But look at that perspective, though. Like, yes, you're going to have an above-average player for the next 8 years. You're going to have him on two different contracts, so on and so forth. He'll play into his 30s. He'll be a fan favorite. He could be as good as Josh Allen or better. He could be as good or worse and still be a productive player. Or you could have an elite offensive line. Out of the box. Out of the box elite and can get better. And will get better. There are plenty of things that Evan Neal does have to work on. There are a lot of things about Aiden Hutchinson that people are like, well, there's things he can get better on, but he's a pretty great prospect. But the things that he can't do are the things that are genetic, like the things that you're born able to do. That bend that Von Miller has, you don't teach that to people. That's something that Von Miller was born with, and you wish that other people would come out of college football with that style of pass rushing ability. It doesn't exist. And Aiden Hutchinson isn't that kind of guy. Trayvon Walker is not that kind of guy. Jermaine Johnson isn't that kind of guy. Kayvon Thibodeau, not really that kind of guy. You've got so many things. So many things that kind of just point in the direction of Evan Neal is right there for you. And on top of that, look at the offensive line that Trevor Lawrence would be behind instead.
You want to find out if your guy is legit or not. You went out and paid
Christian Kirk
$17 million. You're getting back Travis Etienne, and you still got that running back.
James Robinson, yeah.
Give yourself an offensive line and figure out if your quarterback is legit or not.
And in that same – like, think about that offense, Cam Robinson and Brandon Sheriff with Evan Neal. That's three very good pieces that are in front of your quarterback instead of attacking other quarterbacks. I love pass rushers. I do. And yeah, I'm trying to make the argument for Evan Neal here. And a fruitless one at that, because it's not happening. It's the hindsight that I think a lot of people are going to have in this draft. And I think the same could be said for Ikem Ekwonu. I think you could make all of this argument for Ikem Ekwonu as the first overall pick too. And
you sign Evan Engram, you sign Zay Jones, you've already got Marvin. You went out and got offensive weapons. Complete the job.
Yeah.
Finish the job.
Make sure that Lawrence can get the ball to those weapons. And the flip side perspective of that and the reality of the situation is that they spent all that money in free agency so they could build the defense through the draft and build Saxonville through the draft. My mock draft for Jacksonville, they took three defensive players. And they took some good ones, too. I had them take who all did I have them take? I had Aiden Hutchinson, Lewis Cine, and I think Quay Walker. Now, Quay Walker's not going in the third round. I messed that one up. It is what it is. Since then, I've heard so much noise about that dude, like, sneaking into the first round. So it's like, okay, well, I didn't get that one right. Stuff happens. It's okay. But that's the perspective of what their draft is like. They're going defense. They're building Saxonville back up. Because while I mentioned all those quarterbacks are bad or are not as good as they used to be or have always been incredibly mid, how do you make those quarterbacks even worse? You put a pass rush on them. You make it impossible for them to even be able to do anything to begin with. And the fact of the matter is, when you do look at the Colts, who are, I think, sorry, Mason, probably head and shoulders expected to win that division because of the run game, because of the defense, Jonathan Taylor's pretty good.
You know who's playing quarterback for them, right?
Matt Ryan is a hell of a lot better than Carson Wentz. A lot. Matt Ryan didn't play bad last year. The Falcons play bad. So I think they're in a position to win that division. The Titans have lost a lot over the years. And if you're able to beat the Titans the same way the Bengals did in those playoffs, you're right there in a position, I think, to start contending with the Colts to be able to try to win that division. And so that's where it makes sense to take the Aiden Hutchinson. But I think just down the road, you're going to feel that tiny bit, that sense of regret for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And it'll be one more in a long line of just kind of laughingstock selections. It is what it is. We'll take a break here. We'll come back, continue the conversation on the NFL draft. The NCAA getting ready to have its entire world turned upside down. We'll get to that as well here on Off the Edge. Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
Follow Off the Edge on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube for live streams and instant analysis. Off the Edge with Jacob Harrison continues.
Rubbed it in your face once that I had some Slim Chickens. The interns came up here, rubbed it in my face. They had even more Slim Chickens. I mean, they got the fries and the slaw and everything else. But and the toast and all that stuff is great. You got to have stuff to go on the side to help you out. But we all know the game changer here. The game changer is the chicken fingers. Why are the chicken fingers so good, though? Why? We have about 8 to 10 different places to get chicken fingers around here. But why is it when I go down Skyland Boulevard or McFarland Boulevard during the lunch hour that it's completely packed out for Slim Chickens? It's because you got 100% all natural chicken, buttermilk marinated, hand battered in a famous breading made when you order, and 17 house dipping sauces. Now I stick to the Slim sauce. I know Joe is a big honey barbecue guy. We got all sorts of flavors around here, right? And they're going to fit that flavor for you. It's incredible. Not to mention wing sauces. I mean, it's sauce heaven. It's Slim Chickens. Go check them out. You got the location on Skyland. You got the location on McFarland as well. Big thanks to them for bringing some free Slim Chickens to the office today and letting us all be a little gluttonous here on Off the Edge. I think I'm going to spend some time on this instead of the draft. We'll have tomorrow with the draft. Again, the live show will be at 6 p.m. here on Tide 100.9. It'll be Kim Rankin, myself, Mason Woods, J.R. Moore, Joe Gaither, and a whole bunch of our interns. It'll be the Tide 100.9 live draft show presented by Heat Pizza Bar. And we're going to have a lot of fun. But I think one of the most monumental things in college football that we could have possibly asked for has happened today. Now, I'm on the air, so I can't read and talk to you at the same time. So I've had to skim through some of this Ross Dellinger article on sportsillustrated.com, SI.com. But college power brokers poised to turn the NCAA upside down. The Transformation Committee. What a name. Capital letters on all.
Doesn't it have a nice ring to it?
The only thing that would have been better, the Evolution Committee. That's the only thing that would have been better. But I think, you know, maybe they didn't feel like that was going to be PC enough. I don't know. The Transformation Committee is considering wholesale changes that would make the NCAA's post-Mark Emmert era, come on now, a completely different experience. And a lot of people would see that and see fear. But here's the thing. I don't think anybody saw the tweet yesterday mentioning that Mark Emmert was going to step down from his duties in June of 2023 and didn't meet that with a smile. I smiled. I thought that was great. Listen, dude's made a lot of millions of dollars. I'm not here to be like, hey, you know, I wish you didn't do your job because you're bad at it. I kind of am. But in a human being type sense, you know, you shouldn't be that way. But the NCAA needs violent change. Violent change. They need it badly. They need it like I need Slim Sauce, okay? They need this change to survive. Because at the moment, they're dead. They're dead. They have no impact. Like, we look around and, you know, we hear Jimbo Fisher complaining about tampering. And we get it, right? We get it. Tampering is bad, okay? Nobody's going to disagree with that. But who the hell is going to do anything about it? Who is going to actually implement rules? Who's going to set down any kind of sanctions? Who's going to lay down the law? There is none. There is none to enforce. The rules, they may as well be ink in the ocean, man. They have dissolved. They are useless. They are not usable. So a change is welcomed, at least by me, because I see the transfer portal, I see NIL, and I see things that can work, but they're still just slightly broken. The transfer portal, it needs a calendar that makes sense. Recruiting also needs a calendar that makes sense. NIL has to be regulated in such a way that it too can make complete and total sense. Whether that's in the form of caps or salaries or whatever, who cares? Make it a structured environment that works. Because what we have right now and what we have had for at least the past 15 years of me indulging in college football, but maybe even further along in that, is something that does not have legs to stand on. Something that effectively has been a house with no foundation parked on Gulf shores when a hurricane comes through. And they rebuild it up, and it looks fine for a little while. They put a different coat of paint on it that draws some attention, and then the hurricane finds it again. And it's rinse and repeat. And we make the house a tad bit bigger this time, and it blows down just the same. We try to shore up the foundation just a little bit more, and it still doesn't work. At some point, you got to put that house on stilts. Or move. Here's an idea. Don't be where the danger is, right? And when it comes down to it, the NCAA is finally making that understanding. The NCAA is finally making a move here that I think actually may work. And this transformation committee, just so you know what it is, and this coming again from Ross Dellinger, SI, a group of high-ranking college leaders charged with overhauling and modernizing NCAA governance, is considering revolutionary changes some administrators describe as radical. Here's the thing. There is no room for conservative nature in college athletics anymore because it is broken. It has been so stagnated to the point where it is broken. There's room for conservative ideology as far as a fiscal stance. I understand that and would be in favor of it. NIL, that's the most capitalistic thing in college sports. So you can call it radical if you want just because you're scared of change, or you can look at the train that is coming your way and understand it's not the light at the end of the tunnel. It is a train, and you need to find a way to solve the predicament that you were in. Overhauling and modernizing NCAA governance is one of the most beautiful sentences I have ever read. And Ross wrote an incredible lead on this story as it was anyway. Imagine a college sports world where schools are able to offer each baseball player a full scholarship. That's the first sentence of this article. Isn't it dumb that we exist in a world where that's not a thing anyway? We want to talk about fairness. We want to, every time NIL has come up, we talk about, well, what about the offensive lineman that doesn't make as much as the quarterback? Will he block for him? Well, what about the baseball player that doesn't make as much as the football player, but they have to stay in the same building on campus? What is that? How does that work? What if a football team's on-field coaching staff could exceed 25 people? What if the rich, get this, could take advantage of being rich? What if the rich didn't have to play down to the poor in college sports? What if the transfer portal was open to players for just 3 months out of the year? I know y'all clap for that. Even if you thought this whole thing was radical, you clap for that because that's a great idea. That is a brilliant idea. The transfer portal being open from like February to April, let's go. That sounds excellent. What if the recruiting calendar featured no evaluation or quiet periods? What if, hear me out, coaches could get to know their players? What if, and hear me out.
Insanity.
If coaches could watch those players play. It's going to make some heads explode, says one athletic director. You're damn right it is. We're talking about a new age of college football that actually makes sense. Hopefully. I mean, obviously, now listen, here's the thing. I'm not going to be Mr. Overly Optimistic and be loud just for the sake of it. The obvious thing here is some people are going to get what they want, and some people are not. It is a business after all. And also, on top of all of that, Mark Emmert doesn't resign until next June. Apparently, Mark Emmert thought he was going on a retirement tour. Listen, buddy, ain't nobody applauding for you. Ain't nobody selling bobbleheads and T-shirts or making video packages for you. We're ready for this to be done. You didn't have to give us a 14-month notice. You could have given us a 14-hour notice. But the reality of it all, this will be a slow change, right? And it needs to be. It really does. Because the problem with NIL and the transfer portal is that they were just broken open. The floodgates were opened. And all hell broke loose. And any evolutionary change that takes place at a breakneck speed is radical. Because it has no forethought. That's like the premise of being radical, is not having the forethought to think how your changes will be implemented and how they will have greater effect, whether positive or negative. It's the idea behind the word. So if the NCAA were to come in and I was, you know, my joke were real and Mark Emmert were to resign within 14 hours, and at the time this show ends, Mark Emmert is done with the NCAA, and the NCAA rebrands and has a new logo and new mission statement and all these new rules that are implemented right now. Do you know how chaotic that would be? Do you know how broken and stupid that would be? How insane? We don't know the rules to the transfer portal as it is because of the nature in which it was implemented. There are things in the NIL world that we still do not understand. And those things need to be broken down paragraph by paragraph, stanza by stanza, article by article, and have a document of some kind that exists that is public information that we can go to so we know the damn rules. Because as it stands right now, we don't know anything. And we can't know anything. And everything is broken and doesn't exist the way that we would like it to be, whether you're in favor of the evolutionary changes or not. Because so many of us that are in favor of it have to continuously defend it, right? And I've gotten stuck up here in the production studio a couple of days now. So I've had to defend NIL and the transfer portal and other things because I was stuck back there. You see what I'm saying? Like trying to come up with explanations for chaotic situations because we're so in the dark about everything. We often are going to think of the most chaotic situations. And I try not to do that, but I can understand why that's the case. I can understand why you would have no choice but to say, well, what if this ridiculously insane thing happened? Well, it's not out of the realm of the possibility for that to happen, but it's not a representation of the broad scope of things. So it's, you know, you got to talk about that chaotic situation when it happens. But as it stands right now, I still don't have the answer for you because so much of this is so chaotic and it hasn't been around for a year. It hasn't been around for a year. Here are some actual concepts under under consideration from the transfer, the transformation committee. They include, one, eliminating scholarship caps on sports that offer only partial scholarships, so things like baseball. If you only have partial scholarships give away, you get more scholarships in general, so that it makes sense. Abolishing the limitation on the number of coaches per team. Love that. It's silly. Like, if you got this money to spend it, like, why does Alabama have to call some of them analysts? That was the least safe way I could have worded that, but I had to word it somewhat. Why? We know what they're here to do. They don't coach in the traditional sense, but looking at film and telling another coach, "Hey, I saw this," that's coaching in some manner, right? But if an analyst talks to a player, it's like, "Oh, you've gone too far," because of a rule that just exists for no reason, right? Three, expanding direct payments from schools to athletes. Woo! That sounds mighty professional. That one needed to be a lot more than eight words. That's that one, because I don't know if I like that one. I've never been in favor of the schools paying the athletes ever. So that one needs to be a lot more than eight words. I need some understanding on that. Four, reconfiguring the recruiting calendar. How about reconfiguring the calendar altogether? Call Josh Pate. Call him. He's got this whole thing figured out. If you want to make him the commissioner, even better, right? Angels in the outfield, we'll all flap our wings. This is, we need it. Call Josh Pate. Make him the commissioner. But if you don't make him the commissioner, at least get his calendar, because his calendar makes immense sense. There should be a time for the transfer portal. There should be a time for recruitment. There should be a time for football season. There should be a time for pro day. It should all function together and be entertaining. We talk ad nauseum on this show, not every show and not everywhere, but ad nauseum about the NFL draft, which is, I kid you not, 5 hours of five people talking about people and the possible outcomes of what's going to happen. Doesn't it? It sounds like a boring event. But in the reality, there's a lot of excitement there. But college football doesn't do anything like that, except for College Game Day. And that was ESPN's idea. It wasn't the NCAA's idea. I would also, in that sense, give a lot more power to ESPN. I know that sounds chaotic, but hey, you guys need some ideas. ESPN's really good at making money and making entertainment. Figure it out. And five, implementing closed periods in the NCAA transfer portal. I can't think of a better idea. The transfer portal, the worst thing about it is that it is open year-round. And then there are extenuating rules. Like, isn't there some sort of deadline on May 1st?
The people who want to be the fall athletes who want fall and winter athletes who want to be eligible for the next fall and winter have to be in the transfer portal by May 1st.
How many kids do you think are going to enter the transfer portal on May 10th and not know that?
Well, hopefully none, but geez, Louise.
I mean, the number of kids that are in the transfer portal already that don't get scholarships on the other side is already too much, right? And listen, I said this from the beginning as well. It's survival of the fittest. If you weren't good enough to go somewhere else from where you were at, I'm sorry. That realization hits most football players at the worst time, because there is no good time to be told you're not good enough anymore. It sucks. It's not fun to be told that or to come to the realization, but it happens to literally anybody that plays the sport. Everybody. And it's never when you want it to be. But for the transfer portal to seem like an opportunity to be able to play somewhere and to continue what you want to do, for that to be a source of that news, not good. Not good. Not, no thank you. Free agency is only open for a certain amount of time in all sports. I heard Joe the other day was talking about in soccer, between all the leagues, We're talking about multiple leagues, right, in soccer that are able to come together and know when a transfer period should exist so that it can, so that all the leagues can run efficiently. And here we're only talking about one. We're talking about one league figuring it out. I'm excited. Go check out this article. Ross Dellinger is a maniac. He knows how to spin the words in a way that keeps you enthralled, but also educates you. Go check out the article, SI.com. College Power Brokers poised to turn NCAA upside down. We'll take a break. We'll come back and close down the show here on Off the Edge. Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A beautiful afternoon with a sunny sky, the high today 76, clear tonight, the low at 50. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high at 81. Friday and Saturday, partially sunny both days. The high Friday, 83, the high Saturday at 85. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 66 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to Off the Edge on Tide 100.9.
Your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Jacob Harrison here with you. We have a whole host of interns in there helping us out. Want to remind you tomorrow, we'll have Ryan Roberts on tomorrow's show. We'll likely talk with Joey Blackwell as well. And then 6 p.m., it'll be J.R. Moore, Kim Rankin, Mason Woods, and myself, the live draft show presented by Heat Pizza Bar. Here on Tide 100.9, we'll watch along, and we'll break down every pick, we'll react to every pick, and we'll have a lot of fun along the way. Big thanks to Slim Chickens today. Also want to shout out Alabama Vintage. Check them out online, alabamavtg.com. Spend $60, get free shipping on your order. Great day to head on out, man. Weather's great, so you get to walk down the strip. That's great. Walk downtown, all of that. But go get a jersey. Right? I'm going to come in here tomorrow with that Lynn Swan jersey. I'm going to feel good. I'll feel good. Because tomorrow's the day, right, that the Pittsburgh Steelers select Malik Willis and a new era begins in Pittsburgh, right? Or all of my dreams are shattered in that regard and something else happens. That's the beauty of the NFL draft. So go check them out. 2210 University Boulevard under the Crimson Awning across from City Hall in the heart of downtown T-Town. If jerseys aren't your thing, go find you a hat, commemorative T-shirt, memorabilia, commemorating the early 1970s all the way to the early Nick Saban years in the late 2000s. There's something for every type of Crimson Tide fan to enjoy there. Find them on Instagram as well, at AlabamaVTG. And that's where you can keep up with the latest sales, latest deals, and the latest items in stock. That's going to do it for today. Hopefully there's a new world of college athletics on the horizon. I'm going to dive deeper into this Ross Dellinger article. I encourage you to do the same. And then I'm going to go home. I'm going to watch some more mock drafts, get prepared for the NFL draft. And we're going to have a lot of fun on the show tomorrow as well as the live NFL draft show. So y'all take it easy. The Jay Parker Show is coming up next, followed by the game with Ryan Fowler. And I'll see you tomorrow at 11 a.m. here on Off the Edge on Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.